So our series on the armor of God is going to come to a close. Pastor Gene has done, I believe, 3 sermons on the armor of God. If you missed those, I'm sorry. I'm not going to touch on those pieces of armor, but I'm going to do the last 3 and close this up, the whole book of Ephesians in a sense. But so we're going to look at the armor of God today. And I want to encourage you to try to look at it from a fresh perspective. I know many times, I know for myself, I come into this passage, along with some others, with just a lot of preconceived thoughts, you know, some impressions. A lot of times those who grew up in the church, we go in with thinking about our Sunday school lessons that we had when we were kids or whatever, and just like thinking about the armor and stuff like that. You know, sometimes we think, oh yeah, I've heard this one so many times, but sometimes we miss the key message there. Or we knew it, and we need to have that message renewed. I know for myself, when I was a kid, the memory that sticks out in my mind for this passage is I was at camp. It was like, it's kind of like a family camp. It was almost like a conference. I was at this Pentecostal camp. Oh, that's why he moves so much during worship. Anyway, was going to this camp, and there was a message on the armor of God. And at the end of the sermon, there was an opportunity to go up and talk with these people up there, and they would tell you which pieces of armor that you had achieved or something like that. You know, I don't have the greatest memory of this. It was like 8 or something, right? So I was like, okay, looking back on that, I was like, that's kind of weird. But, you know, I, being the 8-year-old that I was at the time, I pretty much went up for any altar call. I think I was saved at least 100 times as a kid, you know? And so I was like, sure, yeah, I probably have the full armor of God. So mature here, 8-year-old Stephen. And so I get up there. And, you know, I get this person, and he's just like, I believe you have the helmet of salvation. I'm like, oh, yeah, go on. But he stopped there. I was like, oh, come on, I got to have the full armor. Like, come on. You know, I'm so mature. Once again, 8-year-old Stephen a little. But anyway, regardless, that's like one of the memories in my mind of this passage. And sometimes I go back to that or whatever. But I want to challenge us today to have a renewed thought of this passage. Pastor Gene has been going through it, and we've been hopefully figuring something new or something we knew before and can apply to our hearts today. So that's my hope. So before we continue, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word, and thank you that you desire to communicate with us. Thank you that you desire for us to know you deeply. So help us now as we look at your word. Help me as I communicate the message you've laid on my heart. And we need you. In your name, amen. So a key part of understanding the armor of God, I think, is found in verse 12 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. And it starts with, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I think this is the key to understanding this whole passage. If you don't understand this part, you're probably thinking, I need a sword, I need a shield, like it's a physical battle. This is so key to our understanding of this passage. And Pastor Gene has gone over this, so it won't take too long. But this is the core of it, right? Our battle is not a physical one. It's not one that we can even see per se, right? It's one that we need to believe is all around us. It's one that we need to have faith. You know, we need to live by faith and not by sight. You've heard the expression, taking a knife to a gunfight. You know, I would compare the scenario to this, because trying to bring something physical to this spiritual warfare, it's like, what are you doing? Right? Like, you know, the saying goes, bring a knife to a gunfight. You know, sometimes in the movies, the guy with the knife still wins, so let's use a different analogy. It's like bringing a pool noodle to a gunfight. You know, it's pointless, literally. You know, it's not going to help. Right? And so, that's what it's like. We need to have our minds fixed on the spiritual, on the things above, if we are going to enter this battlefield and be useful in it, right? And so that's why it gives us a list of the armor of God. And these are not normal pieces of armor that are physical. They're things that are spiritual. They'd be virtues, you know, or a standing before God, or beliefs, right? It takes faith to put on the armor of God. It takes us opening our eyes to see the spiritual. So with that in mind, let's move forward to some of these pieces of armor that we haven't touched on yet. So first off, let's talk about the shield of faith. In verse 16, it says, "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." All right? So we need this shield of faith to extinguish the arrows of the evil one. What are these arrows of the evil one? If you think about arrows in warfare, they're like your first attack, kind of like the easiest way to immobilize, to injure, to kill the enemy, right? It's that first thing. It doesn't take a whole lot of risk. It just takes some resources to fire a volley of arrows at your enemy, right? Same case with Satan. This is his first attack at us, in a sense, and the easiest way to put us down. And so what are these arrows for Satan? I think Pastor Gene was talking about it the other week when he was mentioning that strange saying, that strange word that I think he made up, obviously, FUD, F-U-D, you know, and that was fear leads to uncertainty, which leads to doubt, right? Those are the kind of things that Satan attacks us with. In our hearts and our minds, he sends these flaming darts, these flaming arrows at our hearts, right? And we can let that take us out of the battle, you know, right? How many of us have been kind of immobilized for a day, a week, a month because of the lies of Satan, because of doubt? It's happened in our lives. And we need to defend ourselves with the shield of faith. Some of the attacks come in forms of, I can't do this, you know. I've just sinned, I've just made a mistake. There's no way God can use me. God doesn't care about me. He, you know, I'm worthless. He doesn't really work around me. You know, can I trust his word? These different doubts that come at us, these flaming arrows, and we are to put up our shield of faith. And you know, yeah, sometimes those things come into our minds or approach us, and we need to block them with faith. No, that's not true. God can use me. His word says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? That's blocking it with faith, believing that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. That's faith. It's believing in him and the promises that he's made and the care that he's got, has for us, and what that faith comes from the word and what we know he's said for us. You know, so that's how we block against those things. It's not something physical that you can see and be like, whoa, okay, I'm being attacked. It's something spiritual, right, that we need to recognize. This is a spiritual battle. Satan is attacking me right now with these doubts, and I need to protect myself with the shield of faith. I need to trust the Lord. I need to believe the things that he's told me, and the things that he says about himself. You know, it's so important. Okay, I want to keep moving because we have a few other ones to get to. Next up is the helmet of salvation. It says, take the helmet of salvation. Helmets are used to protect, you know, our heads, which are very important to us, strangely enough. We tend to guard and protect our heads at almost all costs, kind of thing, right? If something's coming towards our heads, we like flinch quite severely, right? We like it when our heads are safe, our eyes are safe, our nose, mouth, ears, brain, you know, it's nice when those things are safe, right? It gives us more confidence when we have a helmet on. And I think that's the purpose of this helmet and armor in general, right? The purpose of armor is not to put it on and then go hide in a corner and know that you're protected. The purpose of armor is to put it on so you can go into battle and be confident that you are safe from a lot of attacks, right? It gives you more confidence knowing my head's safe. I've got a shield I can protect myself with. I've got all these pieces of armor, you know, that will protect me. You know, it gives us confidence to enter the battlefield. In the same way, like helmets, you know, even for us, give us confidence, right? Like I'm thinking of my beginning in the world of snowboarding, and I need a helmet. You know, I there's a moment, you know, when I first started, just like, should I get a helmet? You know, it's not so cool to wear a helmet. It doesn't look as cool. You can't, you know, or whatever the case may be, right? And so maybe I shouldn't wear a helmet. Cool people don't wear helmets. And I think about it, cool people are stupid. Why wouldn't I want to protect my head for when I'm like crashing and rolling around and hitting my head on things? You know, so I wear a helmet. I guess I'm past the age of caring so much about how I look as much. You know? But so I wear a helmet. And do you know what? By wearing this helmet, it gives me more confidence when I'm learning how to snowboard. Right? And as I try new things, it gives me more confidence to do so. You know, for me, I'm still, you know, not too long ago, I was like in the place where I did not want my back down the hill. So I would kind of go back and forth like this. You look like that noob that doesn't, you know, and it's terrible. It's not even very fun. But when you're wearing a helmet, you have a little more confidence to actually do what you're supposed to do and carve. And that means like going back and forth like this kind of thing. And at some point, you end up with your back down the mountain. Now, the reason that scares me is I'm thinking I'm going to catch some kind of edge. And I'm going to fall back into a place I can't see, into this void, and just slam my head and keep rolling. Like that's a real fear for me, right? When I have that helmet on, I know at least when I enter this falling that my head's protected, you know? And that makes a big difference to me. It gives me the courage, right, to try it, to learn, to grow, to get better, you know? That's the same thing for a helmet, you know, for a soldier, right? It gives him the courage, because he knows his head's protected, to go into battle. To go into the battlefield. Same thing for like those of you who play hockey or floor hockey, ice hockey, whatever the case may be. A goalie mask, you know, is quite vital to what you're doing. Because you could try to do it without it, but every time the puck or the ball comes at you, you're going to be like, which you're not going to be able to do your job. But when you have that mask, it makes a big difference. It gives you confidence. You can keep your eye on the ball. You can do your job. Right? So many illustrations that we could go to on this. This helmet gives us confidence to enter that battlefield. It's called the helmet of salvation. I think that has such an easy truth to it right there. Salvation, when we know we're saved, it gives us such confidence to enter the battlefield. When we know our eternal destiny is secure, you know, what can harm us? Sure, the things of this world, insults, hardship, you know, somebody could even put us to death. But we have our eternal security in Christ. If we are confident in our salvation, you know, I don't have to go around, oh, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this, or maybe I need to do this to help with my salvation to get it better. Like, there's so much stuff that would be going on in my mind if I didn't know I was saved. I'd be worried about this stuff all the time. I made another mistake, oh, you know. But no, he makes it so we can know that we're saved. That's such a blessing. That's something we need to hold on to and remind ourselves of. And if you struggle with that, if you have moments where you're like, am I really saved? You know, if you doubt that, I really encourage you to be more confident in that. How do you become more confident in your salvation? Is it by asking somebody, am I saved? And they say, oh yeah, you're saved. No, we don't want to base our faith on what somebody else is saying about us, you know, or that we prayed a prayer once way back when at a conference or a camp or whatever. You know, I prayed a prayer once. No, that's not what we want to base our faith in. So we need to go to the Word of God, right? We need to find those verses that talk about salvation and ask myself, well, it says here that if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It says that there. Well, I've confessed him as my Lord. He is my king. I've given him my life. You know, and I believe that God raised him from the dead. I believe in Jesus. It means I'll be saved. I could put confidence in God's word that I am saved. That's where our confidence should come from. So if you ever doubt, go through scripture. Find other passages to talk about salvation. Is this true in my life? Yes. So what does God say? You're saved. You know, we want to trust the Lord in our salvation to the Lord's hand, not somebody else's hands. That's something we each believer, I believe, needs to have in their life, a confidence in their salvation, a confidence in that Jesus did enough. He's asking you to place your faith in him. You know, so important in this battle. All right. So that's the helmet of truth. So we've touched on the shield of faith, right? That's not a physical thing. That's something that happens, attacks on our heart, on our mind, and we need to block those with faith, right? We've talked about the helmet of salvation gives us confidence to enter that battlefield, that spiritual battlefield. When we know we're saved, we're able to go forth in the mission that God has for us. The last one I want to talk about is the sword of the Spirit. Okay? The sword of the Spirit. And so it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Right? So we have our sword. Yeah, I really like this part because I'm a guy. Sword, it's always cool. Ever since we were boys, we would find anything that even resembled a sword would become a sword as a boy, right? It's like if any of you have had boys or were one, you know this is quite true. And if it doesn't resemble a sword, we could probably make it into a gun or something, right? You know, I don't know, is there a violent nature or whatever, but we just are fascinated with sword fights and stuff like that, hitting people with sticks. Or, you know, that's just something we love, right? And so this is what I remember as a kid. This is one that I always like, ooh, cool. You know, and your sword is your defensive and your offensive weapon, right? You can block with it, you attack with it. You know, if you think about a war and you decide, you know, I'm going to leave this sword here and go into battle with just a shield and my armor. What are you going to do out there? Just try to stay alive? You know, no, why wouldn't you take your sword? You know, that's what you're going to be making ground in. That's what you're going to find victory in. And it's such a vital part, right? What soldier wouldn't know and treasure his sword if he lost it or lost grip of it, try to find it as soon as he could? You know, because it's such a vital piece of the armor of God, right? One of my friends once, back at Bible college, he gave this illustration. I thought it was quite good. He was on a hockey team, and one time he was on the bench getting ready to go on, and he jumped out there, got in the rush. He had forgotten his stick, which is quite embarrassing, for one. And he becomes quite useful, because he counts as one of the players. Another person can't just come on because he doesn't have a stick, you know. So all of a sudden the team is at a detriment, right? Because your stick is not only an offensive tool, but it's also a big for defense. Very important for defense as well. So you're almost, the other team's almost on a power play when you don't bring your stick out there, right? And so it's just like, why would anybody intentionally not bring their stick to come play on their shift, right? Why would someone intentionally not bring their sword into the battlefield? And I think you know where I'm going with this. Because it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You get it? You can put two and two together. You know where I'm going. We need to be in the word. Right? It is so important. I know so often I'm guilty of just, sure, I'll read in the day, but I'll just read and not let it touch my heart. You know, not interact with God in what I'm reading. So this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about putting it on our hearts, memorizing pieces of Scripture, being in the Word daily. That's what we're talking about with the Word. And it says here it's the sword of the Spirit. Sounds a lot like it's the Spirit's sword. Right? This is the weapon that the Spirit will use in your life. And the defense and the offense, right? The Spirit uses in your life. When we're not in the Word of God, I believe we are crippling the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. When we're not in the Word of God, I believe we are crippling the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. You know, I think all of us have experienced, when we're in the Word of God, when we're placing Scripture on our hearts, we've experienced the Holy Spirit moving in our hearts and saying, hey, remember this verse? You know, and encouraging us, strengthening us through the Word of God because we place it in our hearts. And this isn't just a task for those who don't know their Bibles well. For those who know your Bibles well or don't, like, this is a matter of daily placing it in your heart. I know for myself, on a daily basis, I almost, you know, put that stuff out of my mind. If I don't focus on Him, I fill my mind with otherworldly things. Right? And whether you know your Bible well or not, if it's not on your heart, the Holy Spirit's not going to bring it up in certain circumstances a lot of the times, right? Let's equip the Holy Spirit in our lives with a sword that can defend, that can go into battle. It's so important that we know the Scriptures, that we have it on our hearts, not just be knowledgeable, but we read the Word saying, hey, that may apply to me today. Hey, you know, what are some things in here that I need to work on in my life? That I'm going to just memorize this verse for my day. I bet the Holy Spirit's going to use that. And those of you, I'm sure, who can have countless testimonies of the Lord doing that very thing, using Scripture, the Holy Spirit bringing it up in times of need, when we have it upon our hearts, in our minds, right? Okay, so we've talked about these different virtues or standing before God, these different beliefs that you cannot see with your eyes, right? Sometimes when we go to read our word, the word, we don't quite see the value in it. Like, is God really going to use this? You know, is this really going to affect my day? But that's something we need to live by faith and not by sight. Right? I believe that if I read this, put it in my heart and be honest with God, having that relationship, praying those things and praying through Scripture, that God is going to use this act, to change my day. The Holy Spirit's going to work through that, I believe. And we need to come to Scripture like that, with faith. You know, believing in what we can't see yet. Right? And it goes for all these things. These are things that we can't see. They're spiritual things, right? And that's why I believe Paul, his very next thing, right after describing all the pieces of armor, he says, pray. Because prayer fixes our minds on the things that are spiritual, right? When we pray, we begin thinking not so much about ourselves, hopefully, but we start thinking about God, thinking about others. Sets our minds on the things above. Okay, so the next few verses say, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me. So right away we're told to pray, because this helps us tremendously with our armor, right? With being ready. It takes faith to pray. Well, there are empty prayers. You can pray without having faith, for sure. We're talking about earnest prayer. Coming to the Lord. It's pretty tough to earnestly come to God without faith. Because for one, you believe that He hears you. And that He can do something about it. That He wants to hear what you have to say, right? You're coming to Him. When we pray, we're coming to Him with a heart of faith. Right? And that fixes our eyes on these things. Prayer is so needed in the battlefield, the spiritual battlefield. And we need to be doing it throughout our day, whether it be at work, at school, at home, when we're by ourselves, when we're with others, when we pray for others, you know, whether we're sitting, standing, eating, whatever the case may be, we need to be people of prayer that are asking God about these things and giving them to Him. You know, and it says right at the start, pray in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean, to pray in the Spirit? I think oftentimes we treat God in a way that, like, we just come and we say what we want and leave. It's like almost like if we come to somebody's house, open the door, be like, I want this, this, and this. And just shut the door and leave. You know, I find myself oftentimes catch myself praying like that. Like, not waiting to hear maybe what he would have to say. Or asking him, what would you want me to pray for? Who would you want me to pray for right now? What would you desire for me to do right now? That's more of a relationship, right? You bring your prayers and requests to God, and you open your heart to what he has for you to do, right? How often do we have open hearts wanting to know what God wants us to do? The number one thing that closes our hearts to that is sin, right? Sin in our lives that we don't want to deal with, right? Oftentimes we're doing the run-in, run-out thing when we have sin in our lives that we don't want to give over to God, or something in our life that we don't want to give up, and we know if we just stop for a moment and ask the Lord, what do you want to do in my life? We already know he's going to point that out. And so we just kind of do the run-in, run-out prayer. You know, we need to stop our busy lives, right? Stop. Give God time throughout the day. Give him our requests, yes. But ask, Lord, what would you have me do right now? Who would you have me encourage? I'm at church right now. Is there someone here that needs encouragement? Would you lead me to them? You know, I'm at home alone right now. You know, is there someone you want me to pray for? Is there someone you want me to call? Encourage in some way? Send a message to? You know, asking God, asking the Holy Spirit to be working in us. I don't do this often enough. I'm guessing that most of us don't do this often enough. You know, having this two-way relationship with God, not just this one-way relationship. We just send him our needs. Right? Asking him, how would you have me serve? Oh, I heard about a poverty boot camp that's happening at the church here. You know, is that something you want me to go to? Is that something you want me to learn about and to act upon? You know, I have these neighbors that are there. Should I be doing something? Should I invite them over for supper? When do we ask God those kind of very specific questions? Oftentimes, I think we already know the answer to a lot of the questions that we don't ask, because we don't want to know the answers a lot of times. Our eyes are fixed on ourselves and not on God. Right? When we pray and ask him what he'd have us do, I think this is one of the best ways to fulfill the greatest commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. When we pray and ask God what he would have us do, it takes our mind off of ourselves and our situations, right? It takes our mind off those things and sets them on him and on others. So we're ready to love him and love others. We're making our prayer life more like this. It's fixing our eyes on the battle that we have before us. And as people of God, we're called to put on the armor of God. We are soldiers of him. He is our commander. He is our king. He has a mission for us, each and every one of us. And it looks, we all have the same mission, but yet we all have different missions within that, right? We have different people that he has his heart set on for you to work in and him to work through. So I challenge you today to be listening in your prayers. Be praying in the Spirit, being open to what he has for you. And I'm sure you guys have done this before. I don't think this is something new for a lot of you, right? I know for myself, when I do this, people are encouraged. I am encouraged. I am blessed when I'm able to serve the Lord in this way, right? It is such an amazing thing to be led by the Spirit and to encourage someone, to be blessing others, to be praying for people and seeing God at work. That's when we get to see his glory. That's when we get to see him working. It's when we're praying, when we're being led by the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful thing. Anyone who has experienced this knows it's such a blessing. right? And that's what we're called to. I'd like to conclude here. I'm going to wrap this up. I think prayer wraps it up quite well, honestly. But let's give you a few points of encouragement before I close here. First one is our battle is spiritual. Cannot forget this. Our eyes need to be opened to see things we can't. We need to ask the Lord to help us see what naturally we can't see. Lord, show me who's in pain right now that I can go and encourage, that I can go and pray for. Help me see the things that we can't see with our physical eyes. Help me to care and look deeper into people's lives. You know, and not just I'm talking about in the church and outside the church here. Everything that we're talking about has application in both. Next, our armor is not just protection. We are not to get our armor and go hide in a corner or hang out with our other soldiers, you know, and be safe and not have to worry about the battle at all. We put on armor to go into battle, to enter the battlefield, right? That's why we wear the armor, to give us confidence in our Lord, give us confidence as we serve, right? We need to remember this. Thirdly, prayer is an act that helps us focus on these spiritual things, right? This is the core of it all. You know, if we are praying and being honest with God, it helps everything tremendously. Right? It helps us focus on the things above, on the things that are truly important and eternal. And finally, my encouragement to everyone is to pray continually throughout your day and everything. How would you have me do these things? Seek the Holy Spirit, Spirit's guidance. We have a wonderful counselor, you know, this wonderful guide. How often are we going to him asking for guidance, asking for counsel, and expecting answers? Maybe it might not be audible, expecting that he'll impress something upon our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness to us and that you are a God that desires to communicate with us. We thank you for your word that you've communicated so much to us, Lord. Now help your Holy Spirit to move in us and to show us what specifically you desire of us. Help us to be coming to you often, asking, what do you desire of me? What mission do you wish me to go on? What would you like me to be involved in? Who would you like me to serve, encourage, pray for? Stir that up in us, Lord. Stir this fire in us. In your name, amen.